I'm so mad. And I can't remember anything that that woman said on that podcast. I just know I'm supposed to like not be mad at myself for being mad, but I don't know what to do. Like, if that's where you are, then that is what I'm inviting you to do. Is be in that self-acceptance, that radical vulnerability, that radical thing, being like, you're not in trouble for not knowing what to do.
Welcome back to Happy Brain. My name is Sean Block. Thank you so much for being here. Today, we're going to dive into kind of a little bit more of the woo-woo category. We're going to be talking about radical self-acceptance. If you're not sure what that is, that's the process of accepting yourself exactly as you are in this moment. And what does that have to do with your mental health and feeling better? Well, we learn with our guest, Sophia Wiseone. And Sophia is a speaker, a singer, a mentor. I met her at a podcasting convention where she actually gave a workshop on mental health. She has several podcasts that do really well. One's called Vagina Talks, one's called Medicine Caller, and another called Temple Erotica Stories of Sacred Sexuality. So she talks about a lot of different areas. But today we're going to kind of learn how we can start to learn to accept ourselves better and have less conflict with ourselves. Because part of, for me, depression and anxiety is like fighting with yourself, like maybe you're trying not to be who you are, and a lot of conflict and anger and frustration within yourself. But if you start to learn to accept yourself the way you are in a more healing way, then you're going to have less conflict and you'll likely feel better. And so that's why I was excited to talk about this topic today on radical self-acceptance and furthering that and figuring out ways that we can set ourselves up for better success by loving ourselves more and reducing that friction and that anger that comes with it. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today. So with that, let's get right into this show, this episode with Sophia Wiseone talking about radical self-acceptance. Cheers. I know today you wanted to kind of help us out a little bit and talk about the area of like radical self-acceptance and topics like that, and how maybe that can help us. But can you kind of share, when you hear that term radical self-acceptance, yeah, what does that mean?
So radical self-acceptance for me was the turning point for myself in moving from managing myself and managing my emotions and managing the challenges in my life to accepting myself, accepting my emotions, accepting what I need in a moment, accepting my particularities. And the radical part is like this place of profound neutrality that takes away this like moral code, right, wrong piece, and says, let's look at this landscape. So for instance, I was someone people might consider as too sensitive. And my huge turning point was the day that when I realized that I was not too sensitive, but I was that sensitive. I was that sensitive. And I was that sensitive to other people's emotions, to temperatures in a space, to the things that affect me. I was that sensitive. And I realized there was an imbalance in me, that my sensitivity was disproportionate to my resilience. And so instead of trying to shrink down my sensitivity, I accepted that my sensitivity was this, how I was made, and my resilience, which is very trainable, needed to come up if I wanted to be more stable. So I had to accept my instability, as well as my sensitivity, as well as the kind of resilience. When I would get stimulated, I would dysregulate, right?
Well, I definitely hear you. What I'm thinking is, okay, let's say you're this very sensitive person. Maybe, I'm not going to say out of the mainstream, but maybe like if you're a kid and you're in school, or you're in the work environment and you're at a different place, you know, and you don't want to, like you said, you want to radically accept who you are. Did you have to put yourself in different environments, or did you have to find places that were, that was accepted more, or did you have to, because it sounds like you want to fit in less. You don't want to try to fit in anymore. I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking.
You hit a real spot. That is so real. You know, I never fit in. I always was like weird, even amongst the weird people. And we didn't have words like neurospicy when I was little, you know, didn't understand that my whole nervous system was functioning in a way that was like really different. I was raised enough to have a self-respect and appreciation for myself and I came from an artist background. So I had a lot of permission slip to be like a unique, quirky artist and like weird in a compliment kind of way. That being said, the pain of feeling like not belonging is real. And I have felt that pain a lot in my life. And bizarrely enough, the remedy has been radical self-acceptance and allowing myself to belong to myself and to share company with whoever this other person is. And
I do want to ask, though, to get practical. We've thrown this term radical self-acceptance, and I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you what it is. But realizing it and trying to put that into place, like you didn't just snap your finger one day and you're like, oh, my life is, I love the way I'm living my life. What would you tell somebody who's listening to this? Or like, I have been that, you know, weird one, or maybe there's a straight one in a family of weird ones. I don't know. And they've, you know, the other way. That's probably not too common. But anyway.
No, I mean, we have the black sheep in my family who's like the, you know.
The corporate lawyer?
Yes. The insurance, the underwriter, the risk manager.
Okay. So you have that person. But how do you start to address that? What practical steps or what do you do to start addressing this reluctance?
Okay. So to be trite, I would say, like, buy my book.
Okay, Sophia, you got to give us something. I'm just kidding.
Now, what I want to talk about, what feels really potent to me right now, is anger and rage. Because these are one of the most automatic, your responses if you start to feel this way. Like, I was screaming at my kid today. I yelled at my dog. I'm saying horrible, it's like climb inside people's head, the horrible things people say to themselves, terrible things, let alone outright violence, outbursts that happen. And I think I really know from my own experience and working with other people that, again, that repression creates this power behind it. And that if we can be, and when we are, in more accepting relationship with our anger, it becomes less violent to ourselves and to others. So I want to give you some ways right now to move that energy when it starts to kick up. And the two of them that I'm going to start with are very body-based. And the principle is that people maybe have heard of this thing, like a rage room, right? This idea where you let go and you rent a room, and you can like break everything. And I'm like, okay, that's great. And I'm like all for it. I'm going to talk about how you take a bunch of deep breaths and say to yourself, I feel expletive, 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 so angry, so furious, and it's valid. So my teacher, Tammy Kent, says that rage is the voice of unmet needs. And this is important because when you do the somatic work, what's different than just kind of a general catharsis, the invitation, the transmission I'm offering you right now, is an alchemical process, which is to recognize that when you give voice to the rage, you're inviting the consciousness of what you need to become available to you, become aware of what you're needing. That if you're raging, it's because you need something. When they did imaging of the brain, when people were emotionally raging and when they were hungry, starving, same parts of the brain lit up. We've all heard of hangry.
Yes.
You get really angry when you're hungry. And there's a rule in my life sometimes that I've made with myself. I'll say to people, I'm not going to say anything else until 5 minutes after I eat. Because I don't have to make myself not be human. I get to let myself be human and respect the people around me as best I can. I get high, low blood sugar. We're going to be respectful of it. Okay. So when those feelings come up and you're going to work with your body, I'm a huge fan of like making the space. And sometimes we can do that. And like we're in our house and I put on loud music and jump up and down and shout and do all of that. And sometimes we're like in the bathroom at work. Right. So either way, the first thing is to take this moment and say, I'm furious, and that's valid. It doesn't make the story true. You guys hear what I'm saying, right? It doesn't make the story true, but but the feeling is valid. And then because the emotions are its own digestion system. Using the body to move the physical sensation. So I'm just going to describe a couple of different physical movements that you can do. And one is to like, I love a squat, like bend your knees, go low, get into your hips, using a good like guttural huh sound, which I don't want to do full voice right now because there's a sleeping child in the house and it will be very loud. Okay. But it is that like this really, really low in it. Less of the, this is actually good. Less of the
okay.
Less, relax the jaw. But even faster. Do it again.
Sorry, neighbors.
Right, exactly. That. So any of that, but looking for the less in the throat, less in the jaw, more in the gut, not even in the chest. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It starts to get really in the body. And what's beautiful is that our creative power, sexual pleasure, energy is the same fire pathway as our like warrior, rage, boundary. It's that same heat. It's that same passion. And when we repress that passion, we repress that passion across the board. And so I love to help people work with their rage, because what you get when you get your rage in a healthy way, you get your more expanded pleasure in a healthy way. And so those sounds that start to get a little self-conscious of being like, oh, that's kind of like low and guttural, and starts to feel like, oh, and I'm like, now we're talking low, and using that to move it through. And so you can make fists and do punching, pop, 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 like out every sound. Like from that, I really wish I could just do this in full voice for transmission, but babies win. So actually it's nice because actually I'm going to do this right now. Cause like I said, sometimes we're not in spaces where we can do it in full voice. And so I can actually move a lot of this energy right now, take this invitation to do this and say, let's see, if I was in my room right now and didn't want to wake this baby and had to move this anger, how would I do that? So I'm going to actually stand. So you guys can hear this. I'm going to get low and I'm going to go. Right? You feel me? That's in my body, right? That is in my body. And so it's not about it being loud. It's about it being connected. Mm-hmm. Okay. Connected. And there's an element of moving that with this invitation of it's holding something, and you move that energy. And here's the thing. Often after we have a wave of rage moving through, underneath it is grief. And so you can do that punching, or you'll take your arms above your head. Even you've had people do is stand in front of a couch and take their arms. You want to do things unilaterally. What's that called? Same on both sides. Mm-hmm. Because if you're moving anger, big, big energy like that, you don't want to go twisting. It's too likely you're going to hurt yourself. So if you're going to punch something, you want to make sure that you're being really square about it. If you grab something like a pillow and hit the couch with it, you don't want to twist. You want to go up over your head, directly over, down onto the couch. The other thing that I love is self-swaddling. So that's where you take a blanket You grab yourself, you tuck it around the edge of your body, you roll yourself up like a burrito, and then you yell and yell and kick and scream, and because you're all tight. You know, you say all the things. You can like that, you know, and that's the other thing is like, I'm doing this like, but the other thing I'd say is like, you know, and let it move through. And what's beautiful about this is that when we take responsibility from this, you know what we're not doing? We're not yelling at our kids. We're not yelling at our partner. We're not kicking our dog. We're standing in a room, ranting and raging in our own power, which is going to move that through. And if we do that with enough breath and enough radical self-acceptance, and I know I just am a long talker, if we do that with enough radical self-acceptance and an invitation that says, show me what I need, show me what's underneath this, show me the wisdom. With that, it's incredible what your own consciousness and your own body will do with that permission slip.
So what I'm hearing too is that if you take away, like, you know, if you're even keel and you never get too excited, you never get too upset, and you're happy because you don't get too upset, but you're keeping your range of emotions kind of limited. Mm-hmm. And when you were doing your things, what I pictured is like an old movie with the caveman, them grunting and picking up the woman. I mean, or, you know, throwing over her shoulder, because it was that raw, like, sexuality that right. just whatever that deep right. thing is. Right. I'm not saying to do that, but that's the connection
not
I got.
A previous conversation. And
yes, this is that's a whole other episode
that's
about
a whole other
consent.
Episode.
Consent, yeah, right? But I'm excited for the fact is. One advantage of doing this work is you might get more in touch with your more raw sexuality, more
yes.
your ability to really express yes. yourself in that area.
Absolutely.
And I
you
think
know,
it's
one of the secret codes is that everybody who comes to me and now I actually identify as a sacred sexuality educator, temple erotica, stories sacred. I now kind of own that. Most of the time people come to me and be like, I want to study Reiki with you. And then we'd get inside our practice and they'd be like, what I really one is better sex. Like that was just, you know what I mean? Like that. And I was like, well, lucky for you, you do all these things that don't look like they're related to sex and your sex life will transform. I want to say one thing about this range, which is that in terms of radical self-acceptance, it's called emotional fragility. And this is a term that refers to one's natural propensity of emotional range. And some people have very low emotional fragility. Really intense things happen. They like have a bit of a cry. And that's what it is. Other people, myself included, have a very large emotional fragility, right? It's like I go to the depths of the universe and I go to like the outer realms of ecstasy. This is self-acceptance. And so I just say that to say like, as any of you listening, like, and as any of you sit with this, like the building, the little tiny building blocks, like the self-acceptance is also like, I'm so mad and I can't remember anything that woman said on that podcast. I just know I'm supposed to like not be mad at myself for being mad, but I don't know what to do. Like if that's where you are, then that is what I'm inviting you to do is be in that self-acceptance, that radical vulnerability, that radical thing being like, you're not in trouble for not knowing what to do. And if you don't know what to do, if you're radically accepting it, you have an opportunity to take responsibility and begin to learn things so that you could know what to do.
One thing that we talked about recently was shame. And part of shame is not accepting the way things are for you, like feeling bad about feeling bad or your emotions or things like that.
Absolutely.
So radical self-acceptance seems to be, I mean, that seems to be in the ballpark of what radical self-acceptance is not, you know, not feeling the shame for these
That's right.
feelings you're having. So somebody's listening is like, okay, I heard you. I love those exercises. We're definitely going to make sure they get your book. But the idea as an overall concept is that radical self-acceptance is a way of just being able to handle, and it can improve your mental health because you're not, it sounds like there's less resistance. You're not fighting
That's right.
yourself
you're
as
not
much.
Fighting yourself.
And so it's a start. It's a healthy place. Now, would you, if you went to a therapist and yeah. said, you know, I heard this thing about radical self-acceptance, would would a therapist even know what to do with that? Is that kind of a woo-woo term?
A lot of therapists would.
Okay.
Now, I don't know about a technical term, but I feel right. like they could probably ask a couple questions and be like, okay, self-acceptance we can work with. Radical? Yes. What does that mean? And to me, that radical piece has to do with just being like giving up the moral code, giving up the shame code, right? Like just radical, just being like, wow, you know what I'm really into? Fill in the blank kink scenarios.
Right?
Like don't stop making yourself the problem. Don't just self-accept the good parts about you or the bad parts about you. It's about radically accepting just the whole of it, like the whole situation of it. So I think many therapists, you could say this to, and they would say like, great, let's look around there. For sure.
So like we're saying, like in the Sophia Wise One family, they're all sitting around. This poor insurance adjuster is like, you know, he can radically accept that that's the way he is. He's got this woo-woo family. They're all way out there. And he doesn't have to change himself to try to be just like them. He can be just who he is. He might not fit in exactly, but they love him. They accept him.
Absolutely.
And so obviously.
And is that the person we call when we have questions about our policies? It sure is.
Exactly. So, and I take it in school, maybe Sophia was more, if you didn't go to an art-centered school, you were on the edges of these experiences. You were a little different.
I went to art-centered schools.
And you still were?
I was on the edge.
Okay. Well, then we found the special one. There's a lifetime of learning here. You said that your book, there's dozens and dozens of lessons here that we can probably learn, 195 practices or whatever. So I know there's so much, but I appreciate
rituals. I've got writing prompts. I've got games that are all related to just rage.
You had some really good cards, like for.
So it's the same thing. It's that my book is the manual that goes with the deck. So okay. It's 72 cards. So I love it because it's you pull a card. And so I call it like a choose your own adventure of spiritual and emotional development. So like pull a card, you go to the book, that's the teaching, and then you roll a die. And so it's not so overwhelming, right? Instead of being this like massive book where you have to like learn it just like on one. You gamified it.
You're gamifying our reluctance. Not a reluctance, a radical. I said reluctant healing.
No, but that is also what it is. And for the first time, I created this deck in 2016, finished the book in 2020. And this summer is the first time that I've been using it as a daily contemplative tool myself. Pulling a card, reading the teaching, watching. I have a whole online academy with additional supplemental information too. Watching a video, rolling the die, doing the practice. And it's been really helpful, and it's been humbling how helpful it is, because these teachings are not mine. I mean, these exercises are variations, and I've made them up, or they're variations of things that were given to me. But these are ageless. You know, these are the things that have saved my life over and over and over again. And so that's why I put them into this. But it's the deck of cards, the book, and then the online academy is all one. I call it the manual and guide for calling medicine.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that you wanted to leave us with in this beautiful mind that you have and all the wisdom you shared so much with us today already?
Just want to say, like, as a guide, as a protector, as a truth teller, I love my body, like the way that my body has guided me and been brave, right? Where my mind has wanted to say, not look at things, my body has said, like, this cannot be denied. And I'm grateful for the, at sometimes painful, lessons. And I'm very grateful that the more I listen to myself, the less painful it's been. And so I wish that for all of you listening, and a great sense of humor. Like, may you have a fabulous sense of humor while you accept yourself, and may your cup floweth over with acceptance for others in this journey. So
thank you so much, Sophia.
Yeah, what a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy. happiness.